Welcome to the Six Again podcast, your new destination for all things NRL. Here to bring you everything from team news to best bets are your hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Mutton. Let's kick off.
Hello and welcome into another episode of the Six Again podcast, coming to you from sunny coast, Queensland, Australia. We're going to try and keep this one short and sweet. We're both absolutely wrecked after huge days for different reasons, but we do have a lot of news to come your way, including our 2021 season previews for both the St. George Illawarra Dragons and the Cronulla Sharks, as well as our first look at trial games and trial team lists. So lots of interesting stuff to talk about. Here, absolutely wrecked and dozing off, my name is Adam. And on the other end, we have an ugly fella and also Jared.
So the ugly fella's my dog. This is Smudge. The house is to myself tonight, so the door's open, he's coming to say hello. I like Adam saying that. That's really supportive of, you know, culture and whatever you want to call it these days. So, yeah, as Adam said, we're pretty tired, but we're in this to try and get it done.
We're in this because we enjoy doing it. It's like, this is honestly the most awake I've felt all day. I'm just
tired. Okay, so what beer are you drinking this time?
I've got no new beers this week. I've got another Black Ops Pale sitting in the fridge, and I really need it. I've been saving it for tonight. Just didn't have the time to get to the bottle on the way home. But I'm not going to complain because it's damn good beer, and I enjoy drinking it. So, there.
Okay. So, in the last week or so, because of there's been a few trials and stuff like that, which we'll touch on later, there's been a few injuries pop up from training, and there's been from injuries from trials, unfortunately. So the first one comes out today. There's a video of Payne Haas limping from the field. He isn't considered serious. It's supposed to be ankle ligament damage, but the fact is that
it doesn't sound serious at all.
Slight sprain. There's no confirmed reports of what it actually is, but he's suspended to round four, so everyone believes he'll be back and ready to go by then. Anyway, I'm pretty sure that's nearly 2 months away, six weeks away. So, yeah, Billy Smith, unfortunate for him. We talked about in the last podcast that he had a shoulder injury. He's gone under surgery and he's going to miss up the first four rounds. They actually got in the shoulder and realized he needs a full shoulder reconstruction, so now he's out for up to 4 months. So poor young fellow. He's got a lot of potential. We went for it last time. You got to feel bad for someone like that. Okay, so the next one.
Weird. I don't know exactly what that feels like.
Yeah, because your shoulders are cooked.
Well, they went in looking for they went in expecting to fix a small problem and got in there and found that it was a lot worse than what they thought. Okay. So the technology hasn't gone any further in being able to work that out.
Okay, I got a question for you. For someone who's, you know, you don't overly depend on your shoulder like Billy Smith does as a professional sportsman, how do you handle that reaction? Can you tell the fans how you believe he reacted to the situation coming out as anesthetic, having a full shoulder reco? How do you feel after that conversation?
I'm not privy to the pages that he's on. He'd be more probably pissed off than anything.
Yeah.
I was looking at it more going, man, this is going to be way harder to work in a sling for this amount of time. So mine was meant to be a 45-minute surgery. Ended up being just under 3 hours. So there's something about it that they can't see on imaging, or they can't work out through physio, and they get in there going, oh, this is worse than we actually thought. The upside for him is he's going to get professional care and rehab and all that sort of stuff taken care of and not have to worry about salary or wages. So
it's just more the mental
side of things. You go in there preparing, all right, this is the step. I've had the injury, we've done everything we can, we're going down the surgical route. I've got surgery now, I can start rehab then, I should be back by now. And you wake up and find out that that time frame has been extended by 3 months. It can be mentally draining, especially coming off, what, do you have an ACL last year? Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, he's just picking the same injuries that I've had. So, yeah, if you had them back to back, it has an impact. There's still activities that I do with my knee that I second guess myself. And I had that fixed up when I was 18. I'm, what, 32 now.
So, yeah, there you go, everyone. That's the one thing we've ever been able to relate to an NRL player. Bungie shoulders by Adam. Yeah,
my... Well, I'm still doing my full-time job. Different. He'll be right. He's got a hell of a lot more talent than I'll ever had.
All right, moving on. So Herbie Farnsworth, next week is Alex Glenn's testimonial. He will actually miss that because he's had painful tissue removed from his chest, but he should be good for round one. Elisa Katoa will miss round one, possibly round two and three, because he's got a fractured eye socket. There's been a few of them, actually. That was a this is stray something that hit him in the tackle at training. It's come out that we talked about Bryce Cartwright breaking his jaw last week. That was from stray boot. So, yep. Not ideal. Okay,
get the strays off the field.
This is the big one. So, Jack Williams was placed in an induced coma. So what happened was he actually last week in the trial copped an elbow to the throat. The doctor suspected nerve damage. So to release the pressure on everything or whatever's going on, they actually put him in an induced coma for 3 days. No word on his recovery. On the flip side, Eddie Blacker was the one who hit him in the throat. He's up for 4 weeks suspension.
I don't see how that's the flip side. No, that's news for Jack Williams and his family. It's not what you're expecting when you walk onto the field. You can expect an injury to occur every now and then, but an injury that puts you into a coma or a doctor's choice to put you into a coma is not what you expect. So I thought it would be Williams and his family and also the Cronulla Sharks. And Eddie Blacker getting the suspension. I don't think there's going to be much more in his mind at the moment than Jack Williams' health and recovery. So it's going to be tough for him too from that point of view. So not good news all around.
So we actually haven't seen the footage of what happened here. We don't know if it's intentional or anything like that. So, yeah, 4 weeks, see what happens with that. Okay, so we talked about last week, we mentioned Tim Laffey. We can't believe he hasn't been re-signed. The Eels have actually re-signed him They have signed him to the New South Wales Cup squad. After round 12, he can actually play in the NRL. So, you know, depth charts and all that kind of stuff, bringing in Tim Laffey for a few games here and there might not be the worst idea in the world. That's pretty good.
I'm starting to think the Eels have got the same sort of thing as the Roosters with regards to salary sombrero.
Oh, they just keep signing people, eh? I'm actually a little bit afraid of their forward pack, the fact they've got Keegan Hipgrave and Nathan Brown in the same team.
Yeah, so when one's the other one can play and back.
We talked about last week in depth, McCulloch has now been officially signed by the Dragons as their starting hooker. Especially that's good considering Cam McInnes got injured.
Do they have the terms of the deal yet?
So it's all I've got is officially till 2024, like you said. So 3-year contract. Wow,
they did go the 3 years.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Another good signing.
That's got a chance of backfiring.
A few good signings, actually. Raiders re-sign Emre Gula till 2023.
Like that.
Yeah. So lock
good
him
young
in.
Player.
Yep. And in the last week or so, this guy has actually been named co-captain of his club, Isaiah Yeo, with Nathan Cleary at Penrith. Congratulations to them both. But Isaiah Yeo is also signed till 2024 at the Penrith Panthers. Yep. So that's
awesome. Those three signings make sense. Oh, here it is. Sorry.
What's that?
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
You keep going. I'm just bringing up the Eddie Black.
And
Jack Williams hit.
Yeah, Dean Fiore has been signed, released to Super League. No word on who he's going to sign with.
Oh,
was it intentional? You reckon?
No. It was Eddie Black is running the ball back from a kickoff.
Oh no!
And it was just like a arm up, but obviously hit him in the throat. Not. I don't see how you get 4 weeks.
That's, I think, tough. It's more because of what happened. Anything else?
Yeah, that's like you slap down. Well, this is what you get for tackling high with shit technique.
No, you have to tackle high. It's how the game's played now.
I know. Jack Williams has gone to try and take Eddie Blacker up around the shoulders. Eddie Blacker's arms out. Hits him kind of with the forearm, actually. Or elbow, elbow, forearm, and then extends and, yeah, he goes down. That's tough. Like, that's a big hit, but it's tough on Blacker, I think, there.
Eddie Blacker is a huge human being, too.
He's a big person, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll find out more of that on Jack Williams' recovery in the judiciary.
Coming days.
Eddie Blacker. It is rumoured that Ben Hunt is going to be named the Dragons captain moving forward. How do you feel about that, Adam? You there? And Ben Hunt will be named as captain of the Dragons in the coming days. What do you think about that, Adam?
Mm-hmm. We talked about last episode, when a club makes a decision and it backfires, the worst thing you can do then is compound the issue. I think that pretty much it.
Tell us what you really think. Jesus Christ.
Ever since Ben Hunt's gone down there, he's struggled. Yeah. He's had flashes now and then. His best games he's played while being at the draft for Queensland and coming off the bench as a utility.
Yeah.
Something hasn't quite clicked. Maybe giving the captaincy gives him the boost he needs, but to me it looks as though, it seems as though it'd just be an extra weight, and if he doesn't play well, it's going to look even worse and weigh even heavier on him. So, yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah. I can see why they did. I'm not a big fan.
I honestly believe that he needs to be surrounded by leaders. And he'd do well just doing his own job, not having to worry about anyone else. That's what I think he's the best. Like when he was in form for the Broncos, which got him all this money, which got him his reputation, he was surrounded by really good players and he was a leader, but he just had to worry about playing halfback. I think he would struggle under that. But we'll see. But moving on.
Anthony Griffin's also there this time. So
yeah, he gave him his debut. Moving on to another captaincy thing. So in the next 48 hours, Melbourne, and this is a massive deal if you look too much into it, are set to announce a press conference and announce their next captain. So anyone who's under a rock will know that Cameron Smith was their previous captain. He has not officially announced his retirement. From that, he's bought a house up at Gold Coast. He actually got recently sighted on a Gold Coast field training by himself on a rugby league field about 15 minutes away from where the Titans train. So, of course, that just sent everything into absolute overdrive to the point where Mal Meninga has come out and said, we haven't even talked to him. The CEO of the Gold Coast has flatly denied being involved with him. And on the other side of the things, the Broncos CEO has come out and said he will hire a limousine, send the limousine down to the Gold Coast every single night he needs to be trained and pick up Cameron Smith to play for the Broncos.
Yeah, Paul White will use that. Pull the Broncos money before he leaves.
So that's where that is at. But going back to Melbourne, they're expected to announce Jesse Bromwich and Dale Finucane as co-captains, which honestly, I think that's a great choice for both of them. They both earned it. I personally love them both. They're both very solid players. Finucane's one of my favourite players in the entire NRL, and he'd do well.
I would have picked Brendan Smith, but yeah, the other two.
The guy who's going to leave next year. Yeah, righto.
He will not. I think my favourite quote that came out of all this is just Jonathan Thurston talking about Cameron Smith saying, I'm just off him. I've left calls and they've all gone to voicemail. So he doesn't want to talk to me.
Well, either way,
Mal Meninga saying he's a hard man to get a hold of. I'm like, Mal, if you wanted to talk to someone in rugby league, I'm pretty sure you could.
So yeah,
pretty much saying Gold Coast has been talking every day. All,
have you got any more news that's happened?
Yeah, I've got a couple of things here. So there's meant to be a trial game between Melbourne and the Warriors. That was cancelled due to COVID. So what the Warriors are trying to do now is they've got a trial against the Gold Coast next weekend. And they're hoping to send half their squad up to do that game and keep another half that are going to combine with Melbourne to then versus the Knights to try and get a lot of the young guys extra game time. So it's going to be Newcastle Knights versus the New Zealand Storm or the England Warriors, which would be a pretty be interesting to see how combinations and stuff work. That's a weird little thing. There's an article up about Moses Suli coming back from injury, and they're asking him about the deal the Dragons put on the table that was mentioned last year. It's come out that they were looking at a $2 million deal over 3 years that St. George are offering. So that's quite a bit of money for a center who wasn't performing fantastically at the time. Manly offered him $550 a season, and he literally said he's only staying due to Des Hasler. So that's good news to hear that coaches are doing things off the field as well as on it with regards to getting younger players on track in their lives, not just their careers. And I love it how he said he's come back from injury and he's trying to keep – he's kept his waistline in check and is only at 113 kilos.
I actually want to pop back into the Warriors-Melbourne thing that's happening. So, it's I don't know when they've worked together, but Craig Bellamy and Nathan Brown have a very, good relationship in trying to work together. So, I don't know how many people know this, but every...
What do you mean? What?
Every preseason that Nathan Brown coached at Newcastle, he done a private trial game, no cameras allowed, and a training session. Melbourne and Newcastle did one every single year at Amy Park under the roof. They also done some video sessions together and stuff like that through their thing. And now he's gone to the Warriors. They've actually combined to create a hybrid team. So I know
it's still in the works, but that's what they're trying to
do. Yeah, so throughout the whole time Nathan Brown has been coaching in Australia, except for the Dragons, he's actually worked quite well with Craig Bellamy that whole period. So I'm a little curious about where that relationship came from and stuff like that, because, you know, they would have been around the same time playing. Bellamy would have been a bit earlier, but, you know, I don't know if Bellamy... Yeah, it's just strange for me that they've always done this kind of stuff every preseason. Well,
I had no idea. And before we get into, obviously, previewing the Indigenous All-Stars game, my favourite quote of the week was, I can go harder. Who said that?
I can go harder for the preseason.
I can go harder with regards to their performance on the field.
Is it Jazz Tavega?
No, it's Jason Tamalolo.
Oh, shit.
Because they're talking about using him in shorter bursts this year. So he's talking about, he always knew that the years that he's played, he's had to play big minutes. And talking about shorter minutes, he's like, yeah, there's always room to go harder. No, I can go harder. I was like, jeez.
Yeah.
Who are they versing in round one?
Let loose Tamalolo.
Indigenous All-Stars versus Maori All-Stars game is on February 20th, so Saturday night. Make sure you got that in your diary. It'll be the first serious hit out of the year for a lot of these players, but we've talked about it enough already, but the pride that's the players show and feel. Throughout this fixture, sorry, I'm just looking at some of the pictures. I was getting all tongue-tied. There's a great image up here of Kalen Ponga giving Brendan Smith a noogie after a try from last year. So all the Melbourne Storm players have been ruled out due to COVID. They've had to find replacements for all of those players, but there's still two really exciting lists. Make sure you tune in early for the pre-game entertainment. It's 7:10 kickoff they've got here. It's in Queensland, so I'm assuming it's going to be Eastern time, but not Eastern Daily time. So check your local guides with regards to daylight saving, all that sort of stuff. And both teams are still naming 20. They've got 17 listed. So the final team list for each team. Indigenous team, you've got Latrell Mitchell at fullback, Blake Ferguson and Alex Johnson on the wings with Whiten and Ramian in the centres, Walker and Fogarty in the halves, Fifita and Josh Kerr as the props with Ruben Cotter at hooker, David Fifita, Tyrell Fui-Maiono and Tyrone Peachy, your second row and lock. And on the bench, Corey Thompson, Jermaine Tanua-Brown, Cade Cust and Chris Smith, and reserve Zach Sadler, Josh Curran and Brian Kelly. Kelly's been pushed down, so... My understanding is they'll play with this 17, but I thought
they were going to be... No, they play with how many they want and there's run.
Yeah, seven on the bench, yeah. Maori team, Charles Nicol-Klokstad at fullback, Dalen Watene-Zelezniak, Patrick Herbert on the wings with Dylan Walker and Joseph Manu in the centre, Jerome Luai and Benji Marshall in the halves, Russell Packer, James Fisher-Harris at prop, Jeremy Marshall-King at hooker, Bright Nakora, Jordan Ricci, and Joseph Tarpany, second row and lock. That's a cool back row. That's cool. Isaac Luke, Emre Pera, Zane Musgrove, and Jackson Topane on the interchange with SN Masters, Bailey Simonson, and Dejan Arce in the reserves. So there's some really exciting players in there. That should be a killer of a game. Gates open, it says here, Australian Eastern Standard Time, gates open at 4. Women's All-Stars kickoff is at 4:40. And the Australian Men's All-Stars kickoff is at 7:10.
Should be a good night.
Yes, can't wait. Looking forward to that. We'll have a full wrap of that on Sunday's episode. So that's the end of all our news and stuff. We'll be back in just a second with our 2021 season previews for the Cronulla Sharks and St. George Dragons.
Hey guys, welcome back. So the first team we're going to preview tonight is the Dragons. So with them, they've got a few ins and outs from that from last year, but we're going to start with where they started last year, which was, and it was not ideal. They're probably one of the underperformers of the NRL, but it is what it is. They finished at 12th. Do you agree with that? What do you reckon about that from their performance last year?
Geez, throwing me on the spot here, 12. So what points did they finish on?
14 and minus 74 and 4 and against.
So I was at like 7 wins out of 20. So that's... that team, they've lost you and Aik and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, disappointing. They had flashes, and it seemed like every time they had flashes of good form, it was Matt Dufty or Zach Lomax. And we were two of a squad of 10 in NRL fantasy, and they were pretty much the only two St. George players that were consistently up there in points because they were pretty much the only two players consistently involved. Zach Lomax had a breakout year. Jack Dufty had his most consistent, but they were pretty much the only two bright spots for their whole season.
Yeah.
They went to a team who couldn't score to a team who couldn't defend. And that seemed to be the biggest issue. With Anthony Griffin coming in, they'll definitely be able to not score again, but it'll be interesting to see if he does. So obviously overall, from my point of view, a disappointing season, but not surprising.
I'd
say the same thing.
I think that's the best way to put it. Disappointing but not surprising. They they'll just, I don't think they had any direction, really. I don't think they knew their positions at all. Like, they had changes in their spine and stuff like that. The biggest thing for me for the Dragons that annoys me is that just every time they feel like, every time Matt Duffy has a great game, they're like, oh, we'll give him another round run. Every time they have a bad game, they're like, we'll switch him out and put him on the wing.
Yeah.
And then if someone else, oh, look, we'll put Zach Lomax at fullback, which I really pushed for last year. I reckon they didn't give him a decent crack at it. But then they finally decided on Matt Duffy. And every single time someone started playing well in another position, just put him at fullback and hook Matt Duffy. They got to keep him in there. It's just, he's their best, most exciting player. All right.
With regards to direction, they should just, like, one way to get good direction is to spend money on good halves.
All right. I'm going to leave that alone. Okay.
So I'm nothing against the Dragons. I'm just looking at their business. I'm looking at these from a business decision standpoint.
Yeah. You sound like, like Wendell
Saylor. In hindsight, money could have used better elsewhere.
Okay. So their losses in from hindsight. Last year, they lost Ewan Aiken. He was a St. George junior and he was touted high things, but he just didn't deliver and they got him. Went to the Warriors. Tyson Frizzell's probably their biggest loss. Went to Newcastle. James Graham retired halfway through the season last year. Jacob Hurst went to the Rabbits. Tim Laffey got released. Joe Lavoda got released. Isaac Lou, Jason Saab went to Manly Seagulls. That's incorrect. Isaac Lou's currently on a training trial with the Broncos, but Jason Saab definitely went to Manly. Tristan Saylor got released. I'm surprised he hasn't been picked up again.
Yeah. And
Corbin Sims went to Hull. Their gain. So Daniel Alvaro from the Warriors. Junior Amone. Jack Bird from the Broncos. Cade Ellis from Penrith. Poasa Famasuli from the Warriors. Andrew McCulloch.
Nah, Roosters.
No, because they released Famasuli, or whatever his name is. Yeah, that's how you put Famasuli. That Roosters released Famasuli to open up salary cap room for Sonny Bill. So he got officially released. He wasn't traded. So he's officially signed by the Warriors. Now he's gone to the Dragons. And then Andrew McCulloch from the Broncos and Tyrell Sloan. Okay, so what do you reckon about that? Are you happy with what they've got there or what?
I think they lost a lot more than they gained. James Graham made the best call because he ended up winning a premiership in his final season. So that was brilliant.
Awesome. Do you think that missed Frizzell or do you think that was a good opportunity?
Oh, hell for
him to get it? Well, no. Like, a lot of people have said that Frizzell got very tired and very lost in the Dragons attacking.
You're talking about Rod Tuivasa-Sheck being used as a wrecking ball. Tyson Frizzell's in the same boat, but he's not the sort of player who's going to... He's a very damaging player, but he's not the sort of player who's going to keep... He's not Tom Lolo. He's going to keep his highest performance up week after week after week after week, especially when they're shifting him from the edge to the lock, Doing up my team, I'm like, who the hell's going to play in the second row? Is going to have as close to as meaningful impact when Frizzell's on form? And it was pretty hard to find. So that combined with Graham's leadership, combined with, again, Aiken, another player who can have pretty high gains, but can have some pretty big lows as well. I'm just looking at the players they brought in compared to the talent they released in Saab and Saylor. There are a couple of injuries away from maybe a little bit of drama, although they do have the Fegeide twins pretty much waiting in the wings to come in. So,
okay. So
it could be an off season of addition via subtraction.
Yeah. I'm not overly happy.
Only if the squad lifts.
They let go of James Graham, but signed Daniel Alvaro. I don't think that's a fair trade. And then they lost an Australian back rower. Look, I'm happy about that, but I don't know what Dragons fans are thinking of it. I've actually read through a few things. It's about 70-30. 70% are mad about it. 30 are like, well, look, he was just getting stale. So it'd be interesting how he goes. But with the Dragons, like Adam said, if they get a few injuries, they're going to bring in a few players who are inexperienced. So when we hit Parramatta, the Parramatta depth has actually really impressed me this year, the signings they've made. When they bring in the players they've got here, they're going to be very NRL games light, some of these players. And it hasn't helped in the last couple of years that there's so many chopped and changes. Like we said, Matt Duffy, Tyrell Fuliomiona is another. He's been put in the starting squad, put on the bench, put on the 19th man about 12 times. So that's their problem. There's no consistency in their squad. So hopefully Griffin can bring that. The next
I see this as a team who doesn't have enough talent in 10, but has enough young talent. They need to start a full-blown rebuild, in my opinion, and clear out all the veterans who haven't worked and clear up spots for the young guys to come through and start getting game times and look to compete in 2024 or 5.
Okay, so lead, that's perfectly lead on. Do you think Griffin's the one who could do that? So, Griffin's going to be their coach. He came from the Broncos. He was, I don't think he was even assistant coach for a long time. And then he came in, I think from out of nowhere, like he wasn't coaching anyone. And he got fired from the Broncos and Penrith. He's known as a no-nonsense coach, but as Adam talked about, he lacks imagination in their attack, which could be very detrimental to this team because other than Duffy, they don't have that much flair coming into the season. So what do you think, what are your thoughts on Anthony Griffin? Can he do the rebuild you were talking about?
It was a surprising decision to me. You talk about his coaching career. Yeah, he went from 2011 to 2014 as a Brisbane Broncos head coach to 16-18 for Penrith and was fired from both of those jobs. And if you look at both those jobs, he had a winning percentage of 53 and 58%. So one just above board, one you're looking at 60 out of 10. So that's actually pretty decent. You had the two together, you're looking at a 55% win rate for a NRL coach.
Which is impressive.
It's impressive, but the margins aren't wide enough for me to be filled with confidence if I'm a St. George fan. Like, if I'm getting a coach coming in to a team that's been middling to below average, I want a coach who's going to be coming in with a more consistent winning record, or at least a coach that you can see had schemes at previous clubs that maybe they didn't bear fruit there. You could see the ideals behind it. You could see that there was maybe a path to turn things around if given more time.
So what kind of coach are you leaning towards? Are we leaning to the
they needed someone like names escaping who Titans picked up, Justin Holbrook. They needed that sort of coach who could bring the know-how of an old school approach and the toughness that comes with that and the seasoning, the conditioning that players may need, but then also with, I guess, enough balls and imagination to try new things.
Yeah.
I think someone like Adam O'Brien would have been good here. Even a Ricky Stewart, I think.
You just went from one extreme to the other there.
Yeah, no, but both those. O'Brien's got the creativity and the know-how, getting that off Trent Robinson and the ability to change things but do it with confidence and have a plan behind it, not just do it at a whim. Holbrook's got that plus the old school. Is Ricky Stewart's got the old school, but he's got the flair and the passion and the fire that I think, well, pun intended, I guess, with the Dragons, they're lacking. They haven't had fire for 4 or 5 seasons. They've just been a boring, stale team outside of flashes of brilliance for the youngsters, and half of them they've let walk and go to other clubs because they haven't been happy here.
Yeah,
I don't see how bringing a seasoned, sorry, Anthony Griffin, but boring coach in is going to unlock
anything.
What's unlocked at the Dragons?
Yeah.
From the other side, I can see, all right, he's going to come in, he's going to have no excuses, no holds barred, all that sort of stuff. But I don't, to me personally, this isn't the timing to bring a coach like that in.
Yeah, so it's make or break for the Dragons this year as far as their coach and their playing roster. Okay, moving on to their playing roster. So you want to read yours out and I'll tick off what I've got. And this is what we believe is the best 17 they could put on round one, barring injuries and suspensions. Yeah, what we believe is the best 17, personally. Okay, who you got?
Just before, the one good thing St. George has done, they only signed Griffin to a two-year contract. Oh, they've given themselves... No, that's that as a business decision, that is a good decision.
Yeah,
because they keep it in mind. All right. There is a less than 5% chance that the team I've picked will be the round one team because I just talked about a rebuild, so I've put that 50% on board in the first round. So Matt Duffy's my fullback with Cody Ramsey and Mekele Ravalawa on the wings, Braden Williami and Zach Lomax in the centres. I've got Jaden Sullivan as my 5'8". I've got Adam Clune as my halfback. Josh Kerr and Paul Vaughan as my props with Andrew McCulloch at hooker.
Oh! Wow.
Over who?
You've dropped Ben Hunt completely.
Yeah, I was going to put him at hooker. Then I was like, well, they've signed McCulloch, so I guess they're going to play him.
Yeah.
Paul Vaughan, I've done the props, haven't I? Yeah.
Yeah.
Jackson Ford and Tyrell Fui Mayono in second row with Jack Bird at lock. On my bench, I got Ben Hunt, and this is where I've kept some of the old guard, Trent Merrin, Tariq Sims, and then I've also put Blake Laurie in there over Alvaro.
Okay. For me, I've got actually got Jack Bird in the centres. I think that with his personality thing, you've got to put him on one side, let him create havoc. I don't think he's ready to roam everywhere because I don't think he's going to be there at lock when you need him. Does that make sense? Like, he's not going to make those shit tackles.
What's that got to do with his personality?
Well, his personality is not going to be a Dale Finucane personality when he's going to get in and do the hard stuff. I don't think he's going to survive at lock. I've got Ben Hunt at halfback. I've got Tariq Sims at second row. And my bench is all four. I've got Max Feagai on my bench, one of the twins, with Jackson Ford, Cade Ellis, and Blake Laurie. Look, both teams could work. I think my team would be closer to what Anthony Griffin's going to put on. Adam has picked the team he wants, which is fair enough. He made some big calls. But look, Adam Clune deserves his spot, but I don't think they're going to pick an Origin halfback over him. Him over an Origin halfback. Okay, in your squad, who's your player to watch?
I'm just looking like more at this. I could see even by the end of the season, other players I'd be looking to get rid of would be Tariq Sims, Trent Merrin. And I think someone like Paul Vaughan would be a good trade candidate for teams that are up and around the eight or wanting to push in the top four and wanting some depth forwards.
All right, hold up for a second.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the teams. Like I said, Adams will probably be pretty rare, but it is good. It's a good team you put out. In your team, what do you think is the key to success?
Hey, I'm just going to preface by saying by the end of the season, other players like Merrin, Sims, be gone off my roster, and I'd be giving more young guys a go, like Ellis and Britton. It's funny that neither of us have mentioned Corey Norman as well. That's interesting to know.
Well, I put him at six.
Oh, did you? Oh, sorry, yeah, I missed
it. So did you.
No, I didn't.
Who'd you have at six?
I had Jaden Sullivan.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Nah, Corey Normal. I think Sullivan's not ready yet. He will be. I think he'll get his debut this year. I also don't think Corey Norman's a six. I think he's a fullback.
It's a shame. You got Matt Duffy there. And I say Paul Vaughan would be a good trade candidate, I think. Probably mid-season or end-season, whenever they work this window out, to a team that's wanting to contend.
I would love him to come to Newcastle. Imagine Vaughan, Clemmer, and Safidi. But
so I think you'd be looking at least two players back in return.
Yeah.
Or at least taking on a sizable salary cap hit. But anyway, I'm really the I want Fui Mayono to get a starting secondary spot and hold it for the whole season.
Jared and
I are both fans of him. He hasn't had enough time in the one position to showcase what he can do. He's a damn hard-hitting defender. He's high energy. He's not the biggest second row in the world, but he plays fast and he plays hard. Haven't seen enough of him really to see what sort of hands he has outside of he can catch and pass, but I'm not sure about an offload or anything like that. But footwork, angle running, line running, he's an exciting player, and I want to see what he can do if given a consistent secondary position for an entire season instead of the bench role some weeks and the starting role other weeks. I think he's better than a bench player. I think he can offer more to your side, and I'd like to see him get a sustained run in the team.
I'm actually hoping Cody Ramsey does well, just because of the fact that Matt Dufty needs some backup in this team. So supposedly over the offseason, Cody Ramsey's put on a fair amount of weight, like muscle.
He needed to.
Yeah, he was only 18 when he debuted or something like that. So I'm really hoping that he can be that person to actually back up Dufty, because Dufty can't do everything himself. So yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. Okay, for Dragons to do well this year, what do they have to do?
The big money players have to play better.
Yeah.
So it will most likely be going with Ben Hunt and Corey Norman in the halves. They've both played Origin. Ben Hunt's played for Australia. I can't remember if Corey Norman has off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. They need to play like it with this influx of young players coming in at the start of the season most likely, and then through the rest of the season. They're going to need guidance, and they're going to be needing to play with the football at the right end of the field. There's no point giving Lomax or the Fegai twins or Ramsey ball 30 metres out from their line all day and expecting to do something. You've got to put them in positions to succeed. So for me, the Dragons halves need to not just control the game, but take every chance almost that comes their way. McCulloch's going to help them with regards to control, but Hunt and Norman need to be creating at least a chance each attacking set.
Yeah. That's pretty well for me. They've got to improve on their attack. Like Adam said, step up in all areas. I think they've got the team to defend, but their attack needs a lot of work. And that's what I don't see Griffin being able to provide, but we'll see how we go. Okay, so my prediction for these guys for this year, pushing 16th spot. This is my tip for the Wooden Spoon, to be honest. I think they're going to struggle all year. Oh, look, someone has to go there.
I'm just saying it. I didn't say I didn't agree.
I just don't see
a reaction.
I just don't see this team being able to do it, to be honest. And look, I imagine a lot of Dragon supporters who listen to this will agree with me that how much hope have they got? Like, there hasn't been overly amount of changes. And that other than Jack Bird, who's a pretty big money signing, so hopefully he can get back to full fitness, but just they've got to do a major shake-up of this squad, otherwise nothing's going to change. Like, this squad, minus a few ins and outs, is pretty much the same it was 3 years ago. And they were struggling. And they brought in a defensive-minded coach. So, where do you see them any higher than that?
Well, I talked earlier about 2 years ago they couldn't attack, but they could defend, whereas last year it switched, they couldn't defend. I just brought up the table from last year. They finished in the bottom eight. They had a better points four than six of the teams. Only one team had scored more points than them in the bottom eight, and that was West Tigers. So they scored more points than Titans, Warriors, Seagulls, Cowboys, Bulldogs, and Broncos. But it was their defense that let them down at 452, which gave them a four and against of negative 74. So sitting in 12th, that's actually pretty good, because you look at Titans, negative 117, Warriors, minus 115. They were 9th and 10th. And again, West Tigers is the only one in the bottom eight with a better for and against. They need to find the balance between those two. Even if they do that, I'm looking at the teams around them from last year. I think Seagulls have done a lot better in the offseason. I think Cowboys have done a lot better with regards to their coach in the offseason. They're both, to me, going to jump the Dragons. I've got them in the bottom four, whether they're wooden spoon. I think there's a couple of teams that are going to challenge, I guess, if that's the right word for the wooden spoon. But I've got them bottom four.
Yeah. Okay, so that's our cap preview of the Dragons this year. Moving on, we've got the Sharks. So
they were,
they were established in 1966. What do you think of them last year, Adam? What do you think of them last year?
Wait, oh, so one premiership was for the Dragons, no, no. Yeah. Sharks.
They came eighth last year. Points difference was zero.
They didn't beat one team in the top eight all year. All their wins came against bottom eight opposition. So that's not good enough. For the roster that they've got, or had, sorry, not got this year, but had last year, they underperformed.
Yeah.
They did get, obviously, crucial injuries to Sean Johnson. And once he was out, that was it. Chad Townsend was also injured for a portion of the season. Stuff happened with Bronson Sherry. Obviously Matt Moylan, Josh Dugan being injured at different times. It didn't work.
You know what?
But they didn't respond as a team. The individuals that came in, I thought, did a pretty good job at times. Sione Katoa took a step forward. I was really excited to see what he could do. And he was a bit low key when he first came in, but he took a step forward. Yeah.
Do you know what my representation of the Sharks were last year? Andrew Fifita. So we all know the talent he has. I still maintain on his day he's just as damaging as Jason Tomalolo when he's fit and firing and ready to go. Jason Tomalolo just does it every game, where Fifita just does it once a year. So that's how I see the Sharks last year. They have so much talent in their squad. But last year, Fifita came in overweight. I believe he had a bad attitude. I don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but he wasn't playing to his potential every single week. That was clear. And they were skimming through the easy games by winning and then coming up against the hard teams and not even coming close. And that's what Fifita represented for me, someone who's talented enough to go far but not willing to take that extra couple of steps to be recognize their talent. So that's where I saw the Sharks last year. Okay, so
If you're into statistics like me, which is really weird, the Sharks line from last year is just absolute Da Vinci Code shit.
Yeah.
Like, they're all everything's in perfect symmetry. It's scary. Like, 20 played, 20 points. 10 win, 10 loss. 484, 480 against. 5 home wins, 5 home losses. 5 away wins, 5 home losses. Average loss,
4.6.
Average win, 14.6. 5 close games. It's the weirdest stat line. It literally reads they did nothing all year.
Yeah. What they had to do.
No, they didn't do anything. They started. Everything cancelled each other out. Every good thing they did, they screwed up on the other end, and it didn't allow them to go anywhere.
Yeah. Okay. So what they had this year, their signings and losses. They lost Jason Bekuia. Bekuia retired. That's a loss for me. Big loss for them. Cameron King retired for injury. I think this is what they should have kept. Scott Sorensen. He was a Sharks junior. He was a good player. And Penrith was smart enough to snatch him up. Gaines, Jonai Lulua, Jack Martin, and Luke Metcalf. So the first two, Lulua and Martin, they were upgraded from development contracts. Luke Metcalf came from Manly. And their most high-profile signing this year was Aiden Tolman from the Dogs.
Nothing exciting coming in, nothing exciting going out.
Look, They've got old heads in that team, professional heads in that team. You know, they've got representatives all over the park. I don't see how they needed Tolman. I just don't. I really don't. They brought him in for that reason. We need a mature head around the field. They've got Graham. They've got Fifita. They've got Woods, Dugan, Townsend, Johnson, Moylan. They've got those players. I don't see why they needed him. But for some reason, they made a priority to sign Aiden Tolman.
You forgot about these players. Josh Dugan, Moeen Harodi, Sean Johnson, William Kennedy, Nene McDonald, Billy Magoulas, Jack Martin, Luke Metcalf, Matt Moylan, Cole Patterson, Toby Rudolph, CSL for Talakai, Aiden Tolman, Connor Tracy, Braden Trindle, Aaron Woods and Bronson Sherry.
What are they?
They're all off contract at the end of this
season. Oh, week. Yeah, so they might have a clean out. Good.
Oh, my God. That's like the biggest list I've ever seen.
Okay.
And if you look at that, there's 12 of their starting 17 almost.
Okay, so with the mystery surrounding John Morris, do you believe he's their long-term coach?
Not a chance in hell.
Okay. Do you believe Shane Flanagan is going to take over? Which is unfortunate for him,
so I think he's done a pretty good job. Yeah. I think Shane Flanagan will just come straight back in and take over.
There you go. So you don't think... like
exes who just can't get enough of each other, even the breakup.
So John Morris has got 1 year. Conveniently, that Shane Flanagan has one more year left on his ban. So do you think halfway through
12 of the starting 17 are off contract, so he can do what he wants.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so the team. I'm going to name my team this time, and Adam can see what he does compared to it. I've got Will Kennedy at fullback. I honestly believe he's their best fullback. Then I've got Sione Katoa and Mulatalo on the wings. My centers are Jesse Ramien and Josh Dugan. Halves, Moylan and Townsend. Front rows, Hamdul Nueli and Aaron Woods with Blake Brayley in hooker. Nakora and Graham in the second row with Toby Rudolph at lock. Andrew Fifita. Oh, Talakai's injured, isn't he? Yep. So I'm going to have to put someone else there. Maybe is Magoulas injured?
No.
Magoulas at on the bench. Aiden Tolman on the bench. And Jack Williams is injured as well. Damn it. We said that. Yeah, someone for 17 spot. They've got enough. Teague Wilton. Let's put him there. All right. Any changes for you?
We're exactly the same, except Fifita and Tolman. That's right. Woods and Tolman. So I've got Tolman Woods on the bench.
Yeah.
We should have prefaced by saying, obviously, Sean Johnson's injured till round 9. Talakai's injured till round 3. Royce Hunt's injured till round 2. Jack Williams, unsure. Bronson Sherry's still suspended.
You know what's really disappointing in this squad? When Johnson comes back, he'll go to 6. And Moylan will go to 1. And Kennedy will just get dropped. Kennedy is the kind of player you need to build that team around. He's a really quality player. I really like
him. Yeah.
But they're going to drop him as soon as Johnson gets back. So
he's a good, solid player. He's not a classy player. And classy players generally win out. Win selections come by.
You don't build the club on... You play with the club on quality, solid players. You don't build the club on superstars straight away.
Like you need agree players with you. I'd rather have him there.
Okay.
I can't put to me, it's not a good sign that a team we pick these individually and they're exactly the same. It's either a really good thing or a really bad thing. For a Melbourne Storm thing, it's a really good thing. You know which players are going to play where because they've just controlled it. These are more being picked out of necessity because they're looking at the players that are injured. But then the depth, are you like literally on their list? You got Moeen Harodi, who's played some NRL, Nene McDonald, Connor Tracy, and Puase. Sorry, not Jensen, Topper Penier, and Frank Pelle.
Yeah.
Geez,
they might be quality players, but they got no names yet. So
yeah, it's just
okay.
There's no depth.
Who in this squad is your player to watch? Or do you have one? Is that a representation of Cronulla Sharks right there?
Oh, I The player I enjoy watching the most in this team is Injun Johnson. If he wasn't injured, I'd say Sia Sofa-Talakai, because he earned his way into a starting spot last year, and I really enjoyed watching him play. He's one of the stockiest, strongest players in the league, but he's out to around three. But if I'm going to pick him anyway, because that's still going to be, what, 21 rounds, of watching him play.
I'm actually...
If he wasn't injured, he'd be in the starting squad for mine. I'd have him up front with Uele. He's plays above his height, probably doesn't play above weight. He's just brings everything every game, and I just love watching players like that go about their business. Outside of him, just seeing Sione Katoa keep doing his thing. I think he's an outstanding winger. He's one of the best finishers in the game, and I'd say he's still underrated for one, the team that he's playing in. And yeah, I don't know. Underestimate him at your power. He's one of the best finishers.
I'm actually looking at the guy. This is the first time. The guy I picked last year. I think another year under his belt will just make him that much better, because he was a superstar for this team. Now it's Toby Rudolph. He was great for him. He actually got fielded offers for about 40. I think he signed with the Warriors and back.
Signed with the Warriors, yeah.
Yeah. So he's a team player I picked last year to watch. I think he was my up and coming player, and he ended up playing for the majority of the season. And I just think another year, another preseason, is going to get that much better. And I just love the guy with the long hair. When he takes the runs, he goes flying everywhere. He cops hits, gets up again. So he's a workhorse. But he also excites me the way he plays, because he's always there in the middle doing something. So it's good. All right. This is a big one. Your key to success. How do Sharks do better than last year?
I think the Sharks and Manly have to put their finances together and find better sports physio, rehab specialists, whatever they need to do. They just got to keep their stars on the park. And I think for the Sharks, this is the hardest out of any team, because their stars are Sean Johnson, Matt Moylan, Wade Graham, three of the most injury-prone players in the league. If they are all on the park together, the Sharks team looks completely different. They look so much better. They've got structure. They've got balance. Honestly, they've got enough talent there when those guys are all together, and if they're playing well, to go on a run. Outside of one of them being out, like Johnson is at the moment, to me, it leaves too big a hole. So theirs is just injury consistency. Say they've got them all there, I think Chad Townsend's just got to step up to what he was the year before last. Sean Johnson's best when he's chipping in and doing things here and there, et cetera, et cetera. Chad Townsend was invisible compared to his efforts the year before.
Oh, he was invisible when they won the grand final. That's what he was. He directed.
He didn't, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
that's his best game.
But the season before last, he was a commanding half as well as a director. He was in the line setting up tries, all that sort of stuff. When Johnson got injured, he should have been able to look around and say, directing's not enough for him. I need to stand up and do things without Johnson here, without Moylan here. It's on me. And that didn't happen. So Johnson being out, Chad Townsend's going to have to do that if they want to go anywhere.
Yeah, that's right. Townsend's the key, but I think, look, they need to change something. They need to change their attack. They need to be more flary. Like you said, their only attack last year was when Johnson was playing around, like jumping around everywhere. They look great. When he's injured, they're no good.
Can you remember a game early in the season? I think it was about round four. Sean Johnson kept coming down the right edge with Ramian.
Yeah, and they kept dropping the ball.
They kept dropping. Like, he was creating all this space for him.
And now he's out of position. I think it was Ramian. Front.
Yeah, Ramian. Or, like, they had someone in the second row as well. I can't remember. But they were short on the ball. Johnson was putting on a clinic.
Yeah.
And he should have had 3 try assists within a 15-20 minute period. And they all got, and he's looking around going, can I get an NRL player out here, please?
Yeah. And you know what? Another part was that was a big moment in their year because it was so glaringly obvious what was wrong with their attack. But with Townsend, we have mentioned that, you know, he does get invisible, but he's still commanding. So he directs the ball to everyone around and then lets the flary players take over.
Mm.
Last year, I actually felt he took too much pressure on himself to create, and I think that all bubbled up. Do you remember when he hit Ponga?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is so un-Chad Townsend-like. Yeah, I was more surprised that he did that than the actual event, like that he would do something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he would, and that's what kind of I saw the saw him just feeling that he needed to do something.
Frustration.
Yeah, and I was like, holy shit, Ponga just got hurt. What the fuck, Chan Townsend? That's not you. Like,
yeah.
And he got, yeah. And
you mentioned their grand final where he was directing things. He could do that there because there's a bunch of players there that aren't there anymore who could do the rest for him. Like, look at Mick Ennis. He's enough of a creator and a instigator, and he's a flary player.
Right. Obviously, okay. Who's the better twin?
Just allowed him to...
Who's the better brother, sorry, out of the Brayleys? Do you think Newcastle got the deal, or do you think Blake's better?
I've got no answer.
What Townsend needs because of Ennis. So do you reckon, yeah, it'd be interesting how that answer is because they made a conscious decision to let Jaden go and keep play. So that's interesting.
Yeah. So what I'm saying, that grand final compared to now, he could just direct then because he had enough around him. He can't do that anymore.
Yeah. So, I think another one is Graham. He needs to be on the field more for one and show more leadership. Because he leads from the front in what he does, but he needs to find a way to have everyone else have the same attitude as him, the way he does things, and his thinking as well. They need to be smarter. Graham's a smart player. Like, he puts the kicks in when he needs to. He runs...
You can't train that.
No, you can't, but they need to take a step in and, like, listen to him more on the field. Like, their attack is so shoddy that when they give it to him, he does something with it. But yeah. Where do you see them this year? I see him at bottom 4. I really, this team's solid, but bloody hell, they annoy me.
That's some hard hitting stuff out. I've got them in the bottom 8, the same spot that I've got. I think Manly in the top 8, where I can't quite pin him yet till I sit down and look team by team all at once. I don't know if I'm going to put him in the bottom 4, they'd be 4, but I'm looking at more your 12 to 14 range, maybe 11 to 14. So a couple out of the 8, but right down the bottom, somewhere in that mid bottom pack, because I think the fact that they got into 8th last year was more based on, it wasn't based on their efforts because they were beating all the bottom teams and none of the top. It was more teams falling away due to different circumstances. Yeah. Titans having a slow start, Manly being decimated by injuries.
Warriors having Warriors problems.
Their Warriors having, and then obviously the Broncos just completely dropping down. We're not going to get a season where all of that sort of stuff happens again. We're crossing our fingers. And I didn't think they were a top 8 team last year. I don't think they were a top 8 team this year. I think they got worse. So, yeah, I've got them in the bottom half.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's our preview of the Dragons and the Sharks.
We're over halfway.
Yeah. Do you have anything else, Adam?
No, that's everything from me. I'm just really interested to see how this press conference goes by Melbourne tomorrow. I am going to be watching as many of the trial games as I can over the weekend. We didn't read out all the lists because we would have been here for ages, but if you jump on the NRL.com website, you've got all the team lists there, smattering of young players and NRL talent. And I just want to give a shout out to one of the girls in my Year 11 PE class. She has been selected in basically the under 19s rep squad for her rugby league program. She is, what, 16 this year, 17 this year. So she's playing above her weight, and she's heading down and playing against Wynnum Manly in her first real big game tomorrow, and it'll be televised through the QRL stream. So good luck in that game, Trinity, and hope you play really well.
All right. Awesome. Congratulations, Trinity. And with that, we will call it from there, and we'll see you guys on Monday. Bye.
See you later. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio. Be sure to check out Adam's craft beer choice of the week.